This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. We got the whole crew tonight. We got Steve Smee.
Good evening, everyone. How's it going out there?
We got the Mason. Matt, we haven't had you on a Q&A episode for a while. Forget what you look like.
Just living the dream, boys. That's all. Just living the dream.
I thought for a second there, maybe you got promoted and you're on a bigger and better podcast now.
There is no bigger and better than the evolutionary.org podcast, all right?
That was a trick question. That's what I like to hear. Just been busy with the wife and kids and holiday times, I guess.
Eh? Yeah, that's it. Life happens, right, guys?
So our first two topics are to do with Steve. Steve, what did you decide to do with your fast? I think you're on day 17 now. Is that correct?
Yep. Day 17.
Are you going for 30 days or what are you going for?
No, 19 days. It's going to be 19 days and it's going to transition to a water fruit fast.
Okay. First question. Why 19? That's not a cool number at all. Why don't you do like 20 or why don't you do like 21? Like 19. Where did that number come from?
Okay. So here's the deal. Like, this is why, like, I'm deciding to stop it at 19. So the first 11 days of this fast, I dropped 10 pounds. So I dropped almost a pound a day. Since then, and I just weighed myself yesterday, so 5 days, I lost a pound and a half. So in 5 days, I lost, what is the math on that? Like a quarter of a pound a day. So that's why I'm like, okay, I think my body is saying that it's enough. I kind of feel like I got what I wanted out of this. And I feel like it's time to transition to a water fruit fast at day 19. So I'm saying, let's do it Saturday. And that's like the perfect day for me to go to the gym, have a kick-ass workout and get pictures taken, which will be our second topic. But so that's why I decided to stop it. If I didn't feel like I'd gotten what I wanted out of this, I would have just kept it going to like 25 days or 30 days and made it a nice round number for you.
Hey, Steve, when you say you're going to transition into fruit and water, can you be specific on fruit for the listeners? Because in my mind, I think of something that's got fiber, and I feel like that is going to absolutely destroy you after not eating for that long. So maybe give some examples of types of fruit, or if you're going to do any fruit juice, or how it's going to go.
So the last time I broke my fast, I did like the good fat. I broke it with good fats. Because the idea behind that is you break it with good fats and you kind of train your body to use fat for fuel. This time I'm doing it a different style. The only way you're going to learn in life is to try different things. And there's so many different opinions. I've read so many books. I've seen so many YouTube videos. I've heard so many gurus. Everyone has a different opinion. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to do things and see what works best for me. So what I'm doing here is transitioning to water fruits, watermelon, cantaloupe, mango, papaya, watery fruits, peaches, but peaches aren't in the season where I live, so it's not going to be peaches, but it's going to be those other ones. And what that's going to do, those fruits are 90-95% water. So basically the idea is hydrating myself. It's the idea of hydrating, and it's a transition from a water fast to water fruit. And that's going to be what I'm going to be doing this time. So that would be what I do. And then I'm going to go back to eating my normal diet, which is clean. It's not like I eat garbage as it is. I can tell you my symptoms that I'm going through, the tongue is like white. Like it is just white. And it's weird though, because my whole tongue was white. And then just in the past few days, it's like my tongue is white, but the tip of my tongue is red. So that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure what that means, but I know for a fact that I feel like really dehydrated. Like hydration is becoming a problem. Like no matter how much I drink, it's not enough. And that's another reason why I'm like, okay, it's probably time to start transitioning off this fast.
Has it been like that the whole time with the hydration?
No. It's gotten worse in the past few days. And I wonder if my tongue has something, is like signaling something's wrong there.
So are you doing a pure water fast, Steve, or are you still using electrolytes like I recommended?
No. I've been doing the electrolytes from day one.
That dehydration thing, that seems odd to me then. And
if you read about water fasting, Trevor, the longer you water fast, the more dehydrated you get. Because that's just the way it is. And I think the explanation from that is because you know, that's just your body seeking nutrition from food. So your body becomes more dehydrated as you go along. Many people complain once they hit like 15 days, they start really becoming dehydrated. So I'm not dehydrated. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that if I didn't have access to water 24/7, I would like be in trouble. Like it's really hard to stay hydrated. Like I'm drinking all the time and it's not enough. It's like drink, pee, drink, pee, drink, pee. That's my life.
And you're still working out and everything, right?
Yeah, it's not a problem. I'll tell you what, I mean, you save a lot of money not eating. I don't think people realize how much money they spend on food. I actually went back and looked. Since the summer, I've averaged $650 to $700 a month in food bills. And that includes, that includes the fact that I do not go to restaurants very often. So, I mean, maybe once or twice a month I'll go to a restaurant. So the fact that I spend that much on food as a single guy, wow. So that's money you save from not eating. It's a big, big amount.
Steve, what's the last one you did was the longest up to date, right? The 11 day?
Yeah.
So what would be the difference now between day 11 and day where you're going to go to 19? What have you noticed the difference between where you ended last time?
Just I'm more dehydrated, but I mean, like I have no hunger like now, like I have no hunger. Like the only time I'll get hungry is if I'm watching TV, I want a snack on something. But other than that, like I'm sitting here talking to you guys, there is no hunger at all. I went fishing this morning for like 4 or 5 hours, no hunger at all. But I do miss food. And I do notice I have way more time in my day. Since I'm doing a water fast.
You're not grocery shopping, you're not emptying.
Exactly. You spend so much money because of food, between cooking, grocery shopping, going to the fridge, opening the fridge, getting stuff out of the fridge, putting stuff in, et cetera, et cetera. It's amazing. Taking out the trash even. Like if you're eating all the time, you're constantly throwing food away and stuff. You have to constantly take out the trash. I'm not taking out the trash as much. So it's like, I get so much more time in my life, on a water fast. So it's really, really interesting to see how life changes.
So next topic, you are thinking about taking some photos at the end of the day fast. You want to know how to peak for that.
So here's the thing. I talked to, our website owners. They want me to get pictures after my 19th day. And I'm going to be writing a really nice article for all you guys to see and kind of like go through the pros, cons of fasting and stuff. So I'm going to be posting a bunch of pictures. They want me posting a bunch of pictures. So basically, I want a game plan to what I can do to look the best. Should I take salt? So Saturday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, is when I'm going to be taking my pictures. So I have access to several things. I have access to PDE5 drug, which increased pumps. I have access to Proviron. I have access to Aromasin. I have access to salts, electrolytes, water, whatever. So I want to see What is the best way to look the best at 3 o'clock on Saturday? What should I be doing leading up to it?
When you say best, what are you looking for? Are you looking to be like as dry and vascular as possible? Or do you want more like a male model? Like, are you looking to get vascular and dry and veiny, or you just want like marketable photos, like kind of like a Calvin Klein model?
Well, let me ask you and Matt that question. Like, okay, so I'm doing this for you guys. I'm doing this so you guys can learn about fasting. I'm doing this so you guys can see my results. So what do you guys think I should do? And I don't think most people want to see Calvin Klein model. I mean, I could be wrong, but what do you guys think most people on our forum want to see? Because I want people to learn from my experience, and I want people to see the results I got and maybe motivate them. If they want to do it, it'd be like a motivation for them. So you guys answer that question and tell me. I guess Matt answer it first.
So for me, if it's me, I think the dried out, the vascular look is what I would go for, because I think the more model look, this is just my opinion, is more easily achievable. I think you can get that by diet and exercise. Most people can if they're consistent. But I think that really dry vascular look is really hard to get to. I think, you know, it's really tough. We get that question a lot about getting vascular because so much of it's temporary. You know, you can have it in the gym, you can hold it for a bit, but unless your body fat's really low and you got decent genetics, it's tough to get there. So I think I would want to have in photos, I'd want to have what in my mind is harder to achieve. So that's what I would be going for.
I mean, evolutionary.org, elitefitness.com, these are hardcore steroid websites. So I think they probably want to see push the envelope, you know, really push your vascularity and get that, you know, dry dick skin look to you. I don't know how else to put it. I didn't want to say the word, but I mean, there's no other way to describe it. The only issue you're going to have is, you know, normally when you are getting ready for like a photo shoot or a show or something, you'll drop your water, but then you also carb up so you don't get flat. Because you haven't eaten anything in 19 days, you're going to be flat regardless. So, I mean, you're going to kind of look like a piece of beef jerky. Are you okay with that? Because like what I would say is take a couple of days to carb up and then do the photos.
No, Trevor, I think you're misunderstanding the point of this. The point is I want to show people what I look like on day 19 of a water fast. I'm not doing this to get a modeling gig or to, you know, do gay for pay and look good for a bunch of, you know, people. I want to do this to show this is what happens when you fast for 19 days. So I want it to be a true story. I don't want to bullshit people and hop on a bunch of trend for a week. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not looking to bullshit people here. So let's say day 19 of a water fast, no carving up, no cheating. What do I need to do in terms of everything?
Well, if you said you want this to be real and you don't want to give false impression, then you shouldn't take anything. You should just take the photo as is. Like, am I missing something? Like,
no, but I mean, if I'm doing the photos, let's say, you know, I take salt at 9 a.m. Okay. Cause I do consume salt during my water fast. I do consume, should I consume the salt at 9 a.m.? Should I consume the salt 30 minutes before the pictures? What is the best?
I wouldn't take any salt the day of the photo shoot because it'll make you retain water.
Okay, so no salt.
No salt. Before the photo shoot, I would do like some push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, things like that, like get an upper body pump. Mm-hmm. You never want to pump up your legs because your legs look best when they're actually unpumped because you can see the cuts in them better. So just pump up your upper body. Pump
so
up
no
your abs.
Salt. What about water?
Water, like you're ready.
I have to drink water. So
yeah, like I would keep. I wouldn't change water at all. Like normally you would cut water, but I mean in your case you're already dehydrated and there's nothing in your intestines. So just keep.
What
water
about cutting water? Like 30 minutes before the pictures. Does that make
it better? I won't do anything.
So just do water, same thing. So no salt and regular water. That's it.
And then before your photo shoot, do you have like Cialis or Viagra or anything like that?
Yeah. So I said a PF, yeah.
Something
for a pump.
Yeah, I'd take that, and then I'd do maybe like a 20, 30-minute upper body workout to get like a like a pump. And that's it, man. Basically, just hit it. Just do your photo shoot. Okay. If you're going to end the fast at the same time as the photo shoot, what I would do is I would be drinking like a Gatorade while you're pumping up.
Why is that?
Well, it'll get some carbs. It'll fill out your muscles with the sugar, right?
Okay, gotcha. So,
here's the thing is like when you drink sugar, which is basically Gatorade, right? It's going to immediately go into your blood system, right? It's going to go immediately. It's going to spike your blood sugar levels. But if you're then exercising, then it's going to be stored into your muscles. So if you do like a 20-minute pump up before the photo shoot while drinking a Gatorade, especially if you took like Viagra or Cialis or things like that, it's going to really inflate your muscles.
Okay. The problem with that though is that if I take something like Gatorade, it's going to be straight diarrhea, dude. You got to remember my digestive system has been shut down 19 days.
But Gatorade is just sugar and salt.
But that I think that sugar would affect me. I don't want to, I'm not sure. So, I mean, I'll think about that. I just don't want to like get diarrhea during, you know what I'm saying? That wouldn't be good. But like, what about the night before? Does it matter? Salt, water, everything normal?
It really doesn't matter. The biggest thing is get a good sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if using like melatonin or anything like that would help you, but being well rested will do the most for you. It'll do more than the Viagra, the Cialis or anything like that. Cause then, you know, like your complexion will look good. When you're doing the photo shoots, you'll have high energy, your skin will look good, your body will look good. So what I would say is like really prioritize going to bed early that night and, you know, maybe have like a hot Epsom salt bath or something like that, that'll help you sleep. And then, but I wouldn't do anything special the night before with like water or anything like that.
Hey, Steve, I'm interested in, so you mentioned Proviron. What's the logic? What are you thinking behind that? Because I just for me thinking about it, I guess I don't see a huge benefit from it. Like you may get a slight boost, but like, do you normally get pumps from it? Or like, what's the idea behind possibly using?
Yeah, I was thinking like a little hardness and a little more pumps like the day of. But
see, I would only worry, like, I would think, I mean, I don't know how you feel, but I would think your hormone levels are probably lower than normal right now. So I'm thinking if your testosterone is probably a little bit lower, your estrogen's probably a little bit lower. And I would worry about getting your estrogen even lower.
Yeah.
Would be, but I don't know. Like, I'm just kind of thinking out loud.
No, that's a good question. Like, what do you think, Trevor? You think I should take Aromasin?
What are you on right now? Are you on any gear?
No, man. I'm not on any. I haven't taken steroids in a couple months, like a month or two.
You could, but I mean, like you're already Aromasin wouldn't do the job. Like if you want to crush your estrogen levels to dry out your physique, I would take a tab of Letrozole.
Yeah, it's too late for that. So, okay.
I wouldn't mess with estrogen, man. I would honestly, what I would do is I just get a good night's sleep the night before, keep your water intake high the day of the shoot. Cause that's going to flush out, everything, but don't consume any salt. And then the day of the shoot, take a serving of Viagra, a serving of Cialis. And then before the shoot, I would do a really good 20, 30 minutes upper body workout. And if you think your stomach can handle it, drink like a Gatorade or a Pedialyte while you're pumping up.
Okay.
I mean, Steve, here's the thing. You look good right now.
Yeah. I just have to shave.
So here's the thing. We hear this with, you know, Trevor's talked about this with being a coach and bodybuilding shows. Like so many people do exactly what you're doing right now and they try to plan it perfectly. And then they play second in their show and they say, oh, fuck, I look great a day before the show. So I think if you look good now, don't mess with too much. You'll look good when you get your photos done.
When you sent me your message, it was exactly what Matt was saying. You know, I have clients all the time. They'll send me a check-in at 1 week out, which is like basically what you are. And they're like, this is the best I've ever looked. Like, I look like I could step on stage tomorrow. I'm like, I agree. You look perfect. They're like, so what do you think we should change? We should drop my water, up my salt, eat a can of cherry pie.
I guess my thing is like, because my water weight like fluctuates obviously throughout the day, right? And it's like you're the one who's saying that. You're like, well, your water weight fluctuates 2 pounds up, 2 pounds down throughout the day. So I try to weigh myself every day around the same time. So I think I was more concerned with the salt thing. Like, you know, like, should I have salt the day of? Should I have salt the night before? So I think based on what you guys are saying,
Just drop your salt the day of the show.
I can't. Electrolytes as well? Drop electrolytes?
Keep taking those because those will be stored intramuscular. It's only sodium that's stored extracellular.
Okay, see, that's the tip I was looking for right there. Because that could make, you know, a little bit of difference in terms of, you know, am I like, I want to be like at the lowest weight possible when I get my pictures, because that is the true 19-day fast. It should be the lowest weight possible. You don't gain weight on a fast, you lose weight. So I don't want to be 2 pounds up in water, you know, and it fucks everything up. So.
Okay. So that was good. Those two topics. Our next topic is a listener question. He sent a really, really long email. But basically, he looked up the detection time of DECA, and the detection time of DECA is roughly 18 months. And he said, I have to get blood work done once every 6 months for my TRT doctor. Would I never be able to use DECA because it has an 18-month detection time? And basically, I said I'd answer this question on depth on the podcast, but detection time and how long a steroid will be in your body are completely different things. Detection time and how long a steroid will be in your body in large enough concentrations to impact blood work results are completely different things. That's what I meant to say. So the general rule is 4 times a drug's half-life is how long that drug will be in your body in a large enough concentration for it to affect blood work. It'll still be in your body past that point, but it'll be in such minuscule amounts it won't affect blood work, but it can still be traceable if you're getting a steroid detection test. So basically, I said DECA, 15-day half-life, 4 times 15, 60 days. As long as you stop the DECA 60 days before your blood work, it's not going to affect the blood work results. So that was a really, really good question, and that's something I see a lot of confusion about. Steve and Matt, do you have anything else to add into with detection times? But detection times is, it can detect like the tiniest particles of that drug, but it's so minuscule it won't affect blood work results.
Yeah, here's the thing with DECA. DECA is one of the ones, because it's a nandrolone, it's a 19-nor, right? 19-nor testosterone. So the only difference between it and testosterone is the 19th atom. So here's the thing with DECA, is that it can affect your testosterone levels. So if you are on TRT and your doctor checks it and that DECA is still in your system, it's going to affect your testosterone levels. So that's something to be aware of. So you want to give DECA 5, 6, even 7 weeks to clear out of your system.
60 days. So 8 weeks. Matt, anything?
Yeah, think of detection time as a drug test. If you put it into more simple real world terms, when people go for certain jobs and they have to get a pot test and they get their hair cut, it can go back like a year to tell if you've smoked weed. You're not high a year later after you smoke weed, right? It's well out of your system by then, but there's still that tiny little bit in there that you can do a chemical test on to tell. It's kind of the same way. You can test for DECA, you know, 12 months later and tell that you did use it, but there's nothing in your system that's going to actually affect anything you're doing day to day. So try to look at it that way.
4 times a drug's half-life. That's how long you want to wait and then it'll no longer affect blood work results. So just remember that rule. Next question, I'll let Matt go first and then I'll let Steve go. So this is a follow-up question from Chris. A quick follow-up question about Nutriball. Any benefit of running only 15 milligrams per day long-term versus 25 milligrams shorter-term? Just for the purpose of the question, let's say 1 year versus 6 months. Again, this would be 150 milligrams of testosterone per week, doctor prescribed testosterone replacement therapy. Matt and then Steve.
Yeah, 6 months to me is still pretty long term. I like a full dose at 25 milligrams. I would prefer that. Honestly, like it's kind of a personal preference for me. This would be a test. Test it out and see how you do. See what 15 milligrams does for you because everybody's different. So if you relate it to like HGH, for example, because it's going to have similar benefits, similar effects. So if you're using HGH for anti-aging purposes and you're running, you know, say 2 IUs per day, that's where you're going to get, you know, the benefits with the skin, the nails, hair, things like that. You're not going to get into the, you know, the real fat loss, the real, you know, benefits that a bodybuilder would use until you're going to get into 4, 5, 6 per day. So I would kind of equate it that way. You know, if you want to run a less dose for a longer period of time, you're going to get benefits. You're just not going to get as many benefits or, you know, slightly different benefits as if you ran that higher dose. So I would say if you're looking for more fat loss, more healing benefits, I'd run the higher dose. If you're looking at, you know, more slight benefits, if you're already in, you know, a pretty good spot, then I'd run it the longer term. But I think a lot of that's going to be see how you go. That's a really good question because I don't think there's been a lot of people to log it that way. And whatever this guy decides to do, I'd really like to have him do a log or have him check back and let us know what he decides to do and how it worked out.
Chris, you heard Matt email us in a couple of months with how your protocol went out.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I ran Nutriball. Oh my God, the appetite just drove me fucking crazy. So it's like, I don't want to run a long time. But yeah, it's not hormonal, you know? So what it's going to do is that's actually going to boost your growth hormone, IGF-1, without suppressing your growth hormone. So it adds to it. It's not like taking an exogenous growth hormone, which suppresses your growth hormone and elevates, you know, your growth hormone like that. So, you know, it's really up to you, but look, if you don't mind the appetite thing, because a lot of guys don't, a lot of guys have trouble with appetite, especially like the younger skinny guys. And so, I mean, Nutriball could be something for you to use long term. I don't see, you know, why you wouldn't do it. The only thing is it's really expensive. And if you find Nutriball online that's cheap, the odds are you're buying fake Nutriball because Nutriball is very, very expensive to produce. So make sure you're getting it from a legit place. That's all I'm going to tell you.
So our next listener question, he basically asked whether or not you can take a liver aid supplement. He was asking specifically about N2 guard with your oral steroids. He basically sent an email saying, hey, Trev, can I take N2 guard as the same time as my D-ball? Will that affect the D-ball working? It's very complicated. It would take me an entire podcast to explain the metabolic processes, but the absorption of drugs and the detoxification of organs are completely different metabolic processes. You can take your N2 guard at the same time as your D-ball. It's not going to affect anything. I said, if you don't believe me, take 5 shots of alcohol, take 7 pills of N2 guard, you'll still get drunk. I promise. Matt and Steve, what are your thoughts on this? This is a misconception that's been talked about for a while.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and it's kind of funny, but it's true, they have trouble even remembering to take their shit throughout the day. So if you're, you know, if you're one of those guys that you're taking a lot of stuff, right, you're on, you know, your oral steroids, you got your N2 guard, you're probably taking, you know, a multivitamin, some fish oil, a bunch of stuff all different times per day. You can make it really complicated. I mean, it's not going to affect it to the point that it matters, right? If there was any effect, it would be so small, it would mean nothing. Honestly, just do what's more convenient. If you're taking, you know, supplements and different things, say three times a day, don't make it four or five, just keep it to three. You don't want to forget, you know, sometimes shit happens and, you know, you get busy at work and then you forget your dose. It's 2 hours later. So yeah, I just take it together. Why not?
Yeah, guys, N2Guard is a must use both on cycle and even off cycle. And it will make a huge difference in your heart health, your organ health. You're going to feel better on it. It's just something, if I'm on cycle and I'm using N2Guard and then I run out, I notice after a few days, I'm like, holy shit, like I can feel it. But the nice thing about N2Guard, the secret is that it contains piperin. And piperin is going to help you absorb everything that's in it. So, you know, all these other support supplements that are out there, you're not absorbing them. You know, if they don't contain something like that to help actually absorb, you're just going to end up pissing it out. So it's not going to do you any good. So N2Guard is a great, great product, and it's very, very affordable. You know, if you were to buy everything separately, it would cost you in the hundreds. So I highly recommend it always.
Our last question, and this is a really good question. It kind of ties in everything nicely because we just started off the show talking about fasting. Does the timing of meals matter, or is it all calories in versus calories out? I'm probably going to talk the most on this topic. So Steve, let's let you kick it off because you're not eating anything. Let's let Matt go and then I'll finish off the show.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear what exactly the crux of this question is. So, I mean, Matt, I know this was sent to you. Can you explain it a little more specific? Because I just want to make sure that I understand what the question is.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, does it matter what time of day I eat? You know, do I need to eat before I work out? Do I need to eat after I work out? Do I need to eat a certain amount of time before bed? When you factor all that in, if I ate 1,800 calories today, does it matter if I just ate, you know, those 1,800 calories in two meals of 900? Or does it matter if I spread them out? What does it matter? So that's the basis of the question. I mean, I guess it kind of goes both ways, right? And, you know, Trevor uses the line a lot when we talk about, you know, guys looking to, you know, be hardcore bodybuilders, you know, what's optimal. And I think that's what we're talking about here. In the end, sure, it really is calories in versus calories out. You know, we've talked about this before. You can lose weight on if it fits your macros by eating shit all day. That's fine. You will lose weight if you're in a deficit. Is it optimal? No, because it's going to hurt your heart health. Your cholesterol is going to suck. You're going to feel like shit. So how are your workouts going to be? You're going to be bloated like crazy if you do that. So I think, you know, is it optimal to just not give a shit? No, it's not at all. You know, but if you're just an obese guy, you know, you got 60 pounds to lose, start somewhere. If you're going to count your calories and be in a deficit, keep it that simple and do it, and you will lose weight, and let the other stuff come, you know, as time goes on, and as you get more advanced.
So, I mean, here's the thing that I actually have looked at this a lot. And I really believe that if you're trying to lose weight, you know, taking long periods between food is going to lower your insulin levels. Insulin's our storage hormone. So the whole calorie in, calorie thing out is just one component of it. So I'm of the belief that if you want to lose weight, you need to be eating less. And you eat less often. And I've actually done this in my life. When I want to lose weight, I eat less and eat less often.
You realize fat can be stored in the absence of insulin, right? Insulin does not need to be present for fat to be stored.
Right, right. But I'm saying insulin, if you keep spiking insulin, like you eat like every 20 minutes, like you notice like fat people, they eat like every 30 minutes or every hour. They have to eat something. They have to stuff their face. So you're constantly in storage mode. So, I mean, how are you going to lose weight?
That's not insulin, though. That's just constantly eating. They could constantly eat butter, which won't cause an insulin response because it's pure fat, and they would still gain body fat. It has nothing to do with insulin.
Right.
But eating, what going long periods without eating does is it makes you eat less because you went half the day without eating. But no, insulin has nothing to do with it.
Okay, so tell us, Trevor.
Okay, so does it matter? No, but it's what's optimal, right? Like at the end of the day, calories in versus calories out, that's 99%. But let's say you eat 2,000 calories a day. If you ate all of that before bed and you went into your workout with low blood sugars, you probably wouldn't have had as good of a workout as you would have if you had, you know, a small meal before the workout to fuel your body. Then after the workout, you had a small meal to replenish amino acid levels, glycogen levels, things like that. So does meal timing matter? Yes, but you should only worry about it once you've got all your other factors in play. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people who are worrying, should I eat 60 minutes before my workout, 90 minutes before my workout, 120 minutes before the right workout? Those are the same people who don't even know how many calories they're taking in. They aren't on a set workout program. Like they're missing the big picture. So yes, meal timing does matter because, for example, after your workout, your glycogen storing enzymes are upregulated. So if you eat carbs after your workout, they're more likely to be stored as glycogen versus body fat. If you eat those carbs right after workout. But again, it's kind of like this is the 1%. Do you have anything to counteract that, Steve?
Well, I mean, I'm not really sure what you're counteracting versus what I said. I'm kind of confused. So you're saying that if you eat less food, you're not going to lose weight?
No, if you eat
because less insulin doesn't matter. I don't understand where you're disagreeing.
No. Like your insulin has kind of been given this like.
It's given that because most Americans, you got 90 million Americans who are on the verge of type 2 diabetes.
I know. I'm not arguing that. That's because they're eating way too much sugar. But what I'm saying is, like,
they're eating too much food because if you eat nothing but steak all day, it's going to convert to sugar. You can't just eat steak all day and lose weight. It's going to convert. Yeah,
but the thing is,
glucogenesis, right?
Yeah, true. But what I'm saying is, like, fat is broken down into triglycerides, and it's actually easier for your body to store triglycerides as body fat than it is to store sugar, because sugar needs to get converted to fat by something called de novo lipogenesis in order to be stored as body fat. So this whole sugar insulin thing, it's kind of been given a bad rap, and it's not fair because it's actually easier for your body to store fat as fat than it is for it to store sugar as fat. Your body's going to first store sugar as glycogen, and it's only once your glycogen levels are full that it'll start converting that sugar into fat and storing it as fat. But people's problem is that they just eat way too much.
Right. So, but my point is, okay, I'll give you an example. When I'm water fasting and I come off my water fast, last time I did that, well, actually, last time I logged it, I had a salad and I had bone broth. I didn't have any sugar. And what happened?
You gained a bunch of weight, but that's...
No. Wait a minute. What happened that day after I had that? I got kicked out of ketosis.
Well, that's because you ate food.
Yeah, but I didn't have sugar. So my point is, any food you eat, whether it's sugar or not.
You said you had salad, right?
Yeah.
What salad?
But it's not sugar.
It's a carbohydrate. Carbohydrates get broken right down into sugar.
But is it boosting my insulin?
Yes.
Exactly. That's my point. So when you boost insulin, you kick yourself out of ketosis.
If you would have eaten anything, though, it would have taken you out of ketosis.
I know that. That's my point. So I'm saying it doesn't matter if you're eating salad, steak, sugar, donuts, whatever, you're still popping your insulin levels. So my point is, eat less food.
No, but what I'm saying is that it's not the insulin that took you out of ketosis. It was the food. I'm saying you could have just ate butter, which won't have raised your insulin levels, and you still would have got kicked out.
Right, right. So what I'm trying to say is, are you going to get fat off salad?
No.
Okay. But it's still going to spike your insulin. It's still going to kick you out of a fast. It's still going to cause your body.
But you don't need to be in a fasting state to lose body fat.
Yeah.
You just need to.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, there's a difference between reading books on stuff, because, like I'll give you an example. Dave Palumbo, according to him, if you eat salad, you can go into ketosis. But I actually did it, and it kicked me out of ketosis. So I'm saying there's a difference between reading books and, like, actually, like, real life experiences.
And the thing is also, Steve, everyone's different. I mean.
Then prove it. You do it and prove it to me. Then prove it that everyone's their friend. Do it. I want to see proof. I've never had anyone who thinks that the keto diet actually causes true ketosis. Prove it. I'm not seeing one shred of evidence of that, even though I asked it. So do it. Prove it.
Okay. Okay. So first of all, the whole ketosis, there's not even so much things, because everyone has a different definition of how much ketones your body needs to be making in order to be in ketosis. My body is used to a very hard carb diet. If I go from my daily carb intake, which is about 400 grams, to a carb intake of about 100, if I pee on a ketone strip, it will test positive, because my body is making ketones because it's not used to such a low carbohydrate intake for my body. Now, someone else who's on a zero carb diet, if they were peeing on a ketone strip and it's testing positive, and then they start eating 100 grams of carbs, it would no longer test positive. So it's all very, very individual. And it has to do with your age, your activity level, how fast your body metabolizes carbohydrates. But I mean, you can eat carbs and your body will make ketones. That's 100%.
I need to see. I like to see more evidence before I say, well, you know, this is true. I can say with my own body, that's not the case. So, I mean, are you sure about that? I mean,
I've done it myself.
I guess you're just positive
when I was on a low carb diet, but I was still eating oatmeal and things like that.
That's baffling to me. I went from literally being red ketone strip to having salad and bean bone broth,
organic. But you tested that again right after the meal, right?
In the next day, and the next day, I have a log up. You can look. It was nothing, no ketones at all. It instantly kicked me out of ketosis. Remember, we had Dr. Gary on.
I would have done the test again. You might not have pissed on it properly.
Okay. All right.
I don't think.
I give up. All right.
I don't think it, man. Like,
yeah, I did it. I don't want to piss on a ketone strip.
No, or maybe the strip was defective. It was an old strip. Like, cause like,
yeah,
that little carbs. No, I'm like, what I'm saying is, like, your metabolism would have to suck for that little carbs to totally kick you out of ketosis. Cause that's not a lot of carbs, man. That's like maybe like.
Dude, I understand. The book says that. I thought that, but I actually did it. I actually did it. And I have the log up and I have pictures. It kicked me out. I'm telling you.
Okay. This fast, when you start eating fruit again, pee on the ketone strip. And what I predict is that you'll still be producing ketones, but not as much.
From the fruit.
Or any carb you want to eat when you start eating carbs again.
Okay. I'll do it. I'll let you guys know.
So here's the X factor. So Trevor just said, your metabolism would really have to suck. Well, after not eating for 11 days, maybe that's true. Maybe your metabolism literally was shut down to almost nothing, right?
Matt brings up a really good point. Because when I went from 400 grams of carbs, my metabolism was revving, you know, full capacity. Then when I went down to 100, that was, I produced ketones. So Matt brings up a very, very good X factor. Interesting debate.
I'm definitely going to test it. That's the whole reason I log. But actually the good news, guys, is that I'm going to be doing my next fast, which is probably going to be in the late summer. I'm not fasting in the winter again. Because when you fast in the cold weather, it makes you too cold. But I'm probably going to fast again in late summer. I'm going to do the same thing, like a 20-day fast. And this time I'm going to log it every day. So that's going to be another log. And we'll see if my body reacts differently the next time. So it's going to be a good test.
Okay. But we're finishing off this episode. It's another good episode. Steve, your homework for our next Q&A episode next week is I want you, once you started to eat fruit, pee on a ketone strip again and then see if you're still producing ketones, but just not as much.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for sure. I'm glad I won the debate. So it feels good to beat Trevor once again.
Steve is the master debater. I'll put that on.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Okay, this has been another really good episode of Evolutionary Radio, and again, we're just all having good fun here. This is what this show is all about. It's about debating topics we're passionate about and we're interested in. And it's when it comes down to these things, there really is no right or wrong answer because everyone is different and everyone has different goals. So, another episode of Evolutionary Radio for your host Trevor Kuritzen, my co-host Steve Smee, and for my second co-host Matt. Live your life, look good doing it. Thank you for listening. Thank you.